The Lord has blessed us with a beautiful day to gather in His house to worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us prepare our hearts and minds to worship Him this morning. Good morning. We are excited that you have decided to gather with us to worship this day, whether you are listening to us live on Facebook Live this morning. Thank you for worshiping with us, or you're listening to us on the church website, www.fbc-elon.org. We are excited that you have decided to worship with us this day, this beautiful day the Lord has blessed us with. As you gather with your families this day, we hope the Lord has blessed you this week, and we are excited how He is going to move in our time of worship this morning. The Lord has blessed us this week. He has blessed us in so many different ways, and we hope that you will join us as we sing praises to the Lord, as we read His Word this day, as we go to the Lord in prayer, as we read a responsive reading a little bit later in worship. We want you to join us in worship. As if you were gathered here in the pew with us this morning, we want you to participate, because worship is an act of participation. It is an act of worship to God, and that is why we gather here each Sunday morning. That is why we gather where we are, whether you are sitting in your living room on the couch, or you are huddled in your bed this morning, whether you are sitting in your around your kitchen table, or wherever you are gathered today. We are excited that you have decided to join us for worship this day. May we sing praises to God. May we lift praises to God this day. As we gather here this morning, I did just want to point out a couple of announcements that affect the life of our church this day. I do want to remind our ministry teams that we do have our church council meeting this afternoon at 4 o'clock. That will be via Zoom. I've sent out that the meeting information earlier this week, and I will resend it again early this afternoon. That will be at 4 o'clock as we discuss some of the ministries going on here at First Baptist Elon. It gives your ministry teams a chance to update us of what's going on, and as we look ahead, as we look forward to some of the opportunities coming up in the coming weeks and months. I do want to remind you about that meeting at 4 o'clock this afternoon. I also want to remind you that our newsletter that we send out on a monthly basis, we send that via email. We also send out copies, hard copies, to homes and to our church family members. We also post that on our website, but that newsletter will be coming out early June. If you have something that you would like to place in our newsletter, you need to send those items to our church administrator, Janice Summers. Those need to come in to Janice this week, early this week, so she can place those items in the newsletter. So those items are due early this week. So just a reminder about that. Also, last week I had an opportunity to remind you that graduation is coming up, and many of of those graduates have been celebrating this past week, especially our college graduates. Our high school graduate will be celebrating in just a couple weeks, and we heard this week that graduation ceremony will actually be taking place in early August. But we are also made aware that one of our former students that came through Elon University just a few years ago, she participated in the Baptist Student Union at Elon University, was an active member of our congregation during that time. Samantha Kofer, she graduated from the medical school at UNC Chapel Hill this spring, and we want to extend a congratulations to Samantha. We are proud of you, and congratulations on that great achievement. So I did want to mention her name this morning in our worship time, and we pray for her and her continued success in her academics, and look forward to how God is going to continue to use her in the medical field. So Samantha, we are proud of that achievement for you this spring as well. Many other things going on in the life of our church, you can find those items in our newsletter and hear more about those items coming up in the coming weeks. But those are a few announcements I did want to point out this morning in our announcement time. Now, as we prepare to worship our Lord and Savior, I did want to turn to our opening scripture reading. It's a beautiful psalm. It's a psalm that we have read before in worship, but it's a psalm that speaks to the glory of God. Reading Psalm 113 this morning. Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Let the name of the Lord be praised both now and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to the place where it sets, the name of the Lord is to be praised. The Lord is exalted over all the nations, His glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God, the one who sits enthroned on high? Who stoops down to look on the heavens and the earth? He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. He seats them with princes, with the princes of their people. He settles the barren woman in her home as a happy mother of children. Praise the Lord. As we reflect on those words this morning, let us go to the Lord in prayer this day. God of all life, beyond our imagining and yet coming so close, we come to you this day seeking to follow our risen Lord who taught us these lessons of love. You refuse to leave those in need on the side of the road. You give the poor a place of dignity among the powerful. You make a home for the homeless. You seek justice for those who are treated unequal and bring joy abounding to families and communities. As we gather to celebrate and give thanks this day for your harvest of blessing, may we live within your reality, share your vision, and do your will, that the whole earth may echo your glory, not just here in this place today, but the whole earth. May this worship service this day and our life of service be pleasing to you. In Jesus Christ, our teacher and Lord, we pray. Amen.
Well, good morning. One of our most beloved praise songs, 10,000 Reasons by Matt Redman. We're going to sing that, and we hope you will sing that with us this morning.
worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I'll worship your holy name. You're rich in love and you're slow to
this morning. If you would join me in a responsive reading, the words will be on the screen behind me. You can join along in reading. I will read the light print, and you will read the dark print. Our praise team, which consists this morning of Leslie Cornell and Pam Moody, thank y'all for joining us in worship this morning. And Gay is doing a wonderful job of leading and choosing individuals to help sing and lead us in worship during this time. They will assist in reading the dark print for our responsive reading this morning. And so I ask that as you listen and read this along with me at home, again, I'll read the light print and you can read the dark print. This is based on Psalm 113 as well. King of all the earth, creator of the universe, from everlasting to everlasting, you are Lord. We will give thanks to you, O Lord, with our whole hearts, for your glory is above the heavens.
From the rising of the sun to its setting, we will praise the name of the Lord.
You raise the poor from the dust and lift the needy from the ash heap, transforming them with glory and honor.
From the rising of the sun to its setting, we will praise the name of the Lord.
You bring fruitfulness from barrenness and give homes to the solitary.
From the rising of the sun to its setting, we will praise the name of the Lord.
Who is like our God, the one who looks down from the heights of the heavens on the earth?
From the rising of the sun to its setting, we will praise the name of the Lord.
This is our God, the Holy One.
Come before him with thanksgiving and offer him the sacrifices of praise.
Our next hymn this morning is Majesty.
For our ministry highlight today, I just wanted to share a couple things as we draw closer to that time where we gather back at First Baptist Elon for worship and ministries. I just wanted to share that many of our ministry teams have been meeting virtually this past week and will continue to do so over these coming weeks to prepare our church facilities so the safety of our congregation will be met. I first want to emphasize that we still do not know what date that will be. As our state moves closer to the phases established by our national government, and I do know over the last couple of days some things have changed in the midst of our state for our community as well. I want to emphasize just because our state government says churches can gather in our worship spaces doesn't necessarily mean that we should gather in our worship spaces. We understand that the makeup and population of our congregation here at First Baptist Elon is different from each and individual church within the state of North Carolina. We are unique. Every church is unique, and we have to understand and plan accordingly. What is best for the church here at First Baptist Elon? We want to make the most informed decision for First Baptist Elon, trying to take into account the feelings of our congregation. And that has been what the discussions over this past week for some of these meetings that we've been having. And that's what part of church council will be as well this afternoon and as we move forward. With that being said, this week and over the next week as well, you will be receiving a phone call from your deacons. I first want to give a special thank you to our our deacons for their time and dedication during this time, for constantly staying in contact, reaching out to their deacon families during this time, checking on your needs and staying in touch. It has been of great help and great assistance to Gay and myself during this time, and I want to just say thank you to our deacons for their constant work during this time. And I want to, we have heard that from our church families, and they are going to continue to do that, as I shared with our deacons this week, and they share the same with me. Your deacons will be asking you a few questions this week, and it won't be many, but we want to just get the feedback from all our church families over this next week, and just to gauge your feelings about the future return to First Baptist Elon. We don't want to make this a decision about by two or three individuals. We want this to be a general understanding. And these questions will not be long, and the responses will be anonymous. We ask that you answer them openly and honestly, and all responses will be anonymous. We just want a general understanding from you. We want to hear from you as we move forward. Our leadership are already working on safety protocols for when we come back here upon return, but we want your feedback as a part of this understanding. Be looking for that phone call over this next week and this next week and a half. Our deacons will be making those phone calls starting this week. And we can't wait to gather back here at First Baptist Elon. We want you to understand that. We miss you in these pews, but we want to make sure that this is a time, and when we come back, that it will be safe for everybody to come back, and that you feel safe when you return. Just because we open the doors here at First Baptist Elon, we want you to understand it doesn't mean that you have to come back if you don't feel safe. We will continue to live stream all worship services. This is not a temporary thing that we will be doing. This is going to be a permanent part of our worship experience. We want to let you know that we are going to continue to stay in touch with you, but we want to get your feedback over the next week and a half. So be looking for that phone call from your deacon. Be ready to share your responses to the questions that they will be asking. And we look forward to gathering back here, but we want to make sure we have all our hopeful plans in place when we do so. We continue to pray with you. We continue to pray for our families. We continue to pray for our congregation and our community and our state in an unprecedented time. This is a new situation. We've never had to face this before. And so just be in prayer for us as we try to make the most informed decision for our congregation here at First Baptist Elon. Thank you.
As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. You much more than it.
Thank you, Pam. Let us pray. Father, as we prepare to once again go to your word and to prepare to be moved by your Spirit this morning, we just ask to prepare our hearts and our minds to be moved in ways that maybe we weren't prepared to be moved this day. That's the amazing thing about being in your presence, because sometimes we come with expectations, or sometimes we don't check everything at the door. And sometimes those obstacles that we bring with us to worship, and sometimes those obstacles that may be clouding our minds and maybe our hearts and expectations of what this day is going to bring, or what this past week has weighed us down with, or this week ahead may be already manipulating our minds and our schedules. And Father, we don't make room for you. And that's when you creep in and you start shifting things around and start moving us in ways and start making room. And Father, I just ask that today that you start making room in ways that we haven't even begun to imagine. Because if it's like me today, Father, there are things that have been building up for weeks that I've been allowing to fester and to boil, and things that maybe I haven't even thought about. And Father, they've been just building up in my head and my mind. The emotions have been rubbing raw, and maybe they've come out in conversations that I didn't even know that were there. And Father, that they've finally come to a head, that I'm giving them to you today. In this sermon, in this scripture passage, a passage of scripture that I've preached from before, but this is a passage I keep coming back to because it speaks to who I'm supposed to be, who we're all called to be. Father, prepare each one of us to how you're going to use the Spirit to speak to us today. Whatever we're bringing to worship today, allow us to drop it and to be used and moved by the Spirit, by your word. That's why we're here. That's why we're supposed to be here. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen. Uh, Again, I say good morning and thank you again for joining us during the season of Easter at First Baptist Elon. And it may seem funny to say the season of Easter since we celebrated Resurrection Sunday some 5 weeks ago. Yet we are still in that time period where the newness of the idea of the risen Lord still holds true in our minds. For the disciples, having the risen Lord appear to them on numerous occasions and preparing them to go out and spread the message of love and proclaim the hope of the risen Lord was still exciting and new. Now, for approximately 40 days, Jesus approached and appeared and taught the disciples many lessons that would equip them to proclaim the kingdom of God. So basically, for 40 days, Jesus would appear to them and he would teach them. I mean, he taught them for 3 years approximately, but for 40 days, he kept preparing them to teach them. Now, I'm going to turn some of those words from the Apostle Paul from his letter to the Romans. And that's what we're going to look at today. I'm not going to read any lessons from the gospel accounts, and I'm not going to read the lessons from Acts of the Apostles. I'm going to focus on that next week because that is Ascension Sunday. But this Sunday, I'm going to turn to a lesson from Romans. And the reason why that is because, again, this is a passage of Scripture that holds true to my heart. And I think with things that have been going on the last couple weeks, and if you have been stuck at home like most of us have, and you've turned on the news like most of us have, and you have seen things that have been going on that most of us have, these words ring true for each one of us. Each one of us that call ourselves Christians, these words ring true. Words that need to be heard by not just us Christians, but the world needs to hear these words today. Now, before we turn to Paul's letters, I want to share a story from history that I came across this week, and I thought it was pretty fascinating because many of you know I love sports, and if you don't love sports, that's okay, because this is a sports analogy from a sports historian and also a business person. The famed businessman Lee Iacocca. Anybody ever heard that name before? Lee Iacocca, automobile executive, Ford Motor Company, millionaire, may have been a billionaire, probably was, later Chrysler Corporation, big name guy, had the opportunity to interview legendary football coach of the Green Bay Packers, Vince Lombardi. Now, asking what it took to coach a winning team. Now, if you're going to ask somebody about coaching a winning team, you ask Vince Lombardi. Pretty good person to ask, considering he won 5 Super Bowls. If you're going to ask a winning coach, this is who you ask. And in the book that Lee Iacocca was writing, he wanted to ask him this, and he asked him this question. What does it take to coach a winning team? And he said this: there are a lot of coaches with good ball clubs who know the fundamentals and have plenty of discipline, but they still don't win ball games. Then you come to this third ingredient. If you're going to play together as a team, you've got to care for one another. You've got to love each other. Each player has to be thinking about the next guy and be saying to himself, if I don't block that man, Paul is going to get his legs broken. I have to do my job well in order that he can do his. You see, the difference between mediocrity and greatness is the feeling these guys have for each other. Think about that for a second. The difference between mediocrity and greatness is the feeling that these guys have for each other. You see, in the healthy church, each Christian learns to care for each other. But let's take that a step further. In a healthy community, citizens learn to care for each other. Now let's take a little bit bigger step. In a healthy world, humanity learns to care for each other. But it all starts with us. It all starts right here. It all starts with the church. Have you ever thought about it that way? We hold a pretty big responsibility. How do we do it? How do we do it? Paul gives us some hints in Romans chapter 12. So if you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 16. And I saw recently that I preached from the same passage. It's so good, it has multiple sermons here, so I'm not repeating a sermon, I can tell you that. As you turn, this is the middle of a chapter where Paul is discussing the personal responsibility that each Christian has to their local church. Now, Paul discusses the importance of presenting oneself as a living sacrifice to God. Then he goes on to discuss the importance of the differing gifts that each one is blessed with and how each of those gifts can be used within the church and to build the larger kingdom. This brings us then to our focus passage this morning, starting with verse 9. Now, we can't lose what I just talked about, but then this verse 9 starts, and it starts transforming the way we as a church have to start looking, and then it takes that step to community and then to the world. Now, I am going to take some big steps here with this scripture. You got to follow me, okay? You can't get lost. Because if you get lost, you're going to have to go back and you're going to have to watch this sermon again. It'll be on Facebook Live. It'll be here for about 2 or 3 weeks. And it's one of those sermons that if you need to watch it again, you need to watch it again, okay? So follow me with this scripture. Starting in verse 9, chapter 12, verse 9 through 16. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. In a healthy church, each Christian learns to care for each other. This is where it starts. In a healthy church, each Christian learns to care for others. In these verses, Paul is providing an outline for how we as Christians are called to build up the Christian community around us. Now, it all begins with love. This is the root source. This is what Jesus was talking to the disciples about in those 40 days. It all starts with love. And it can't just be one Christian. It is all Christians. It starts with you. It starts with me. Paul states that this is love without hypocrisy. Now, let me talk about hypocrisy, for example. We are taught from a very young age to speak kindly avoid hurting hurt people's feelings, and even pretending to show compassion when meeting the needs of others. I'm going to go a little step further, and I may step on some toes for a second. To show frustration or righteous resentment when injustice takes place. Righteous resentment. That's false. Oh, that is just so wrong. I am so sorry. I'm so sorry that you felt that way. And then when we walk out the door, we don't think about it again. That's righteous resentment. That's not true. That's not true compassion. This is the lessons that your parents taught you, say, this is how you act in front of your family. And then when you go home, they're talking about their family members on the way home to the car. You all know what I'm talking about. It's not the truth. This is not what Paul is talking about. Paul is calling for Christians to stand up and be genuine and true. He is calling to love, to show true, genuine, sincere love that goes beyond politeness. It requires effort. It requires action. It requires getting involved. It means getting our hands dirty. No single Christian has the ability to love an entire church family. But guess what? A whole church family has the ability to love a church family. Did you hear what I said? No one Christian has the ability to love an entire church family. But a whole church family has the ability to love a church family. Guess what? I can't do it all by myself. Leslie can't do it all by herself. Pam can't do it all by herself. Gay can't do it all by herself. Bert can't do it all by herself. Jerry can't do it all by himself. But all of us can do it if we work together. Everybody has to do their part. This is what Paul was talking about just a few minutes ago when he's talking about the gifts. All of us are blessed with something. That's how the church works. Everything else follows from this love. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Stand up against social injustice. Stand up against inequality. It doesn't say sit down there and say, oh, social inequality is bad. That is just bad. It says stand up. Stand up for what love. Stand up for inclusion. Stand up against exclusion. Think about who Jesus spent time with when he walked this earth. Think about it. Who was he spending time with? He was on the side of the road. He was with the sick, the poor, the invalid. He was with the rejected of society. Who should the church be with? That is who the church should be loving. Honor one another within the walls. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord with diligence. Rejoice in hope. It's funny, our Wednesday night Bible studies on the letter to the Philippians echoes this sentiment of rejoicing over and over and over again. And Paul is saying this in Romans 2. No matter what struggles you might be going through, stay together and persevere. Pray together. Meet the needs of your church family, whatever they might be. Practice hospitality daily, no matter the circumstances and no matter the need. It is a lifestyle, not a choice. Did you hear me? It's a lifestyle. It's not a choice. It's not whether I should or I shouldn't. It is a doing. It is what we should be. Paul was reminding the church that all of us was birthed out of love. That's what Christ did. A love modeled by Jesus Christ. We were birthed out of love. But this love does not stop at the church walls. It doesn't stop at the church walls. We as Christians and the Christian church need to be the voice, the light in the world, proclaiming and shining the message of Christian love into the community. It continues. In a healthy community, citizens learn to care for others. And where do they learn this from? They learn it from the church. They should be learning it from the church. Paul continues in verses 14, 15, and 16 and challenges the church to bless those who persecute you. Bless them. Is that what society says? No, but that's what the church says to do. Now remember, he was speaking to a Roman church who was in the middle of a Roman Empire who was persecuting the Christian church for its very existence, including its beliefs. And what was Paul saying then? Bless them. Persecution of the church today may come in different forms, but as the Christian church today, we have to stand up and bless those who persecute us. Did you hear that? Bless those who persecute us. Maybe that speaks a little bit differently than what happened. We have to weep beside those who weep. We have to sit beside those who are lowly. We have to lie beside those who are weak. The same love we are quick to show within the walls, we have to be quick to show outside the walls within our community. We're good at showing within the walls. Are we good at showing them outside the walls? And that's not just one or two. It's just not the one or two that's sitting in here. It's the whole church. Christians have to be ready to speak up for those who have no voice. Just this week, in our own community, the Jewish center, the Chabad Center, that's less than a mile away from our church on Truett Drive, some individual in the middle of the night drove by this Jewish center and pulled their menorah down. We as a Christian church have to speak up against an act, something as simple and hateful as that. We have to speak up against actions like that, less than a mile from First Baptist Elon, in our own community. It was wrong. Are we as Christians ready to speak up against that in our own community? We all have to be ready to speak up against that. Last week, I shared in my prayer of confession the great pain and hurt I was feeling, but had very few words to speak, echoing emotions that many of you probably were feeling and many emotions that I had been expressed by fellow ministers of mine on social media, that had been expressed by ministers that I know and friends and prayer services and sermons that they had preached over the senseless shooting of Armand Arbery that took place in Georgia in February, that had gotten increased attention on the media. And I just didn't have words to put into mind what had been going through my mind. Our nation continues to be torn apart by acts of social injustice. As a church, we are called to grieve beside a family who lost a young man. As a church, we are called to speak out against social injustice. As citizens, we can feel the same love and value that Jesus Christ felt as he chose the cross. He chose the cross for every single one of us, no matter the color of our skin. We have to be willing to speak out against that. Are we ready to do that? That's what Paul was saying. As a church, we have to be willing to do that. Because our value, everyone's value, my value, everyone who's sitting, the seven that we have here sitting in here, everybody in this community, every person who sets foot on this earth, their price is valuable. It's priceless because when Jesus Christ stood on that cross, it was for everyone. no matter the color of their skin. Everyone outside these walls should feel that exact same way. And if they don't feel that way, it's our job. It's our job as Christians to let them know that's the way they should feel. And guess what? If they don't feel that way, it's our job to let them know. Because if they don't, we're not doing our job. And it's not just our church. It's every church that sits on the corner of every single town in every little small town across this world. Are we ready to do it? That is what Paul is saying here in Romans chapter 12. And I can't speak for any other church, but it all starts with us. It starts with me. It starts with you. And it flows out into our community. We can only do what we can do in our community. But are we ready to do it? It never gets out there if we are not ready to share it. And when I say we, it can't just be me, and it just can't be the seven of us here. It has to be all of us. But it doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop there. Because in a healthy world, humanity learns to care for each other. But it starts with the church. Once our community starts to see it, feel it, experience it, then we start making a worldwide impact. If every church across this world takes this model Paul lays out in Romans, so we start within our walls, it carries into the community, and it stretches out from there, the world will be changed. That's what Paul believed. That's what Jesus Christ believed when he spent those 40 days with the disciples after his resurrection. The world will be changed, period. Global impact. And we are living in a world that needs global impact. We are living in a world that is doing a lot of finger pointing rather than a lot of coming together. And I'm not talking about social distancing here. Instead of playing the blame game, we need to play the love game. Let love be what guides us. That's from Paul. Cling to what is good. That's from Paul. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. That's from Paul. Rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer. Guess what? That's from Paul. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Guess what? That's from Paul. Be of the same mind towards one another. Guess who that's from? That's from Paul. It was if Paul was living right now in this time period on May 17th, 2020. Our world needs the impact of the church now more than ever. Our community needs the impact of the church now more than ever. Our church needs the impact of each Christian now more than ever. It begins and is rooted in love. A love that flows from the risen Lord, spoken, modeled, and shown through his sacrifice. Paul spoke about it 2,000 years ago, and it speaks so clearly to us today. Are you willing to answer that call? Because guess what? He's calling all Christians. Let us pray. Father, as we gather today, and as we have heard Paul's words spoken in his letter to the Romans 2,000 years ago, the message still rings true. The message is still clear as day. He has called each one of us to live that message of love, not just within the walls of the church, but in our community, and to spread that message of love across this world. Are we ready to do our part? Are we doing our part? Father, I just ask that we are ready to answer that call, not just not just this day, but every single day. Father, I'm ready. Are we? May we answer that call. Amen.
Our invitation hymn this morning is Shine, Jesus, Shine.
That the love of Christ is what pushes us forward and what challenges us to go out as Christians, because we're answering that call. How can you share Christ's love in your community, and how can we shape this world? That is the calling that we are all called to share. Go and share Christ's love. Amen.